listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
Today's guest, we have Nancy Nunke, and she's from the nonprofit organization Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue. She's doing some incredible work with animals, but also with people and really transforming lives. She's someone that you really want to listen to. It's an incredible story. So let's talk a bit about what we did this past week, because we had some really cool shows this past week.
Yes, we did. We performed as St. Tone in the Energize Your Vibes show. And that's a positive show that we put on in a variety of realms. We did one version of it at a house concert, mm-hmm. and we did another version of it at a place of peace, which is a worship center.
Yep, in Ventura, California. And the show that we do, basically we perform all original material, which I've written, and we talk about different topics about laws of attraction, manifestation, and since a lot of my songs already have to do with that, it's a good coupling of a message and music. And it's been going over really, really well. So what I'm going to propose out to people out there, that if you would like us to come to your house and put on a house concert, definitely contact us, because that's something that we're starting to do as a duo.
Well, and not only a house concert, but an event concert at your business or, you know, where you worship or wherever. What's really cool is the first night's Energize Your Vibes was not people who were spiritual. And it went over very well with a crowd of people who are not familiar with the laws of attraction and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, you're not sure who's been exposed to laws of attraction or
who hasn't.
Concepts like that. But once you start saying them, they're common laws. They're common things that people always talk about. I mean, the phrase, you get what you think about, has been around forever. You get what you focus on. But it's said so simply that we usually just throw it away or just use it. Yeah, yeah, I get it. You know, you get what you focus on. But what I like to do is just bring it back around. And I think what happens, too, is us telling personal stories of how self-empowerment or manifestation or goal setting or dream boards or any of these things have happened for us, I think that's what really drives it home. So
yeah, totally, totally. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look forward to spreading new thought no matter what the audience is.
So another thing I really want to jump in on and just tell everybody is that next week is our 100th show.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
There you go.
It's a
Thank
celebration.
You for that. Thank you for that little musical ad lib. It's our 100th show, and we're really, really excited because what we did this past week is we actually met with Ken Cragen, who is going to be our 100th guest and celebrating our show. And if you don't know who Ken Cragen is, you know the song We Are the World, and do you know Hands Across America, and do you know parts of Live Aid? This is the guy who helped put all that together. He was a manager for Kenny Rogers and Lionel Richie at the time, and he was approached to put together We Are the World. And the stories that he tells us, I can't even begin to give you little snippets of it, are just so fascinating, especially me being a musician and us always talking about positive music here on the station.
All the humanitarian things that he's done in the world is what excited us about having him on our program.
Yeah.
And him taking the time to spend an hour, a little over an hour with us and talk about it. We're probably going to use his interview in two segments because it is longer than our show is. However, we're going to offer the footage on our website so you can actually watch the videoed interview on humanitarianradio.com. We're going to have a special 100th show page designated to Ken and the things that he's done, and we'll have the video on that page.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Challenges are what make life interesting. Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. I'll read that again.
Yeah, challenges, read that one more time.
Challenges are what makes life interesting. Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful.
Yeah, that's a really interesting quote, because obviously we all have challenges constantly in life, and I think it's those that step up and overcome them really adds to life in general. I mean, if you've been given a free ticket the entire time, then when you do need to step up, it's that much harder.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if I would have used challenges or what makes life interesting. I don't know that I would have used interesting. We're developing a new project where, you know, at my company, and we've had quite a few little challenges in learning because it's all developing something that's never been done before. Making life interesting? Well, it's kind of making life frustrating.
Well, frustrating and interesting, both end in ing.
But I can see where overcoming them will bring meaningfulness to the situation.
Right, but what I think the quote is trying to say is that, you know, when you do have these challenges, step up, face them. And when you do face them and you overcome them, then you go, wow, I had the strength to really do something that was really powerful.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I totally think,
what
get it means. That.
And then you look back at it and go, if I can do that, well, then I can do this next thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's been happening for us in the development of this new project. Over the last 10 months, we've been putting something together, and there's been a lot of frustrating little hurdles in the learning stages because it's all brand new stuff that we're basically teaching ourselves. But every time we get past one of those hurdles, we're all very much like, ah, okay, we did it.
Look, I was just involved in a project yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and the project was something that normally takes 3 weeks to put together.
Right.
And the gentleman that I was working with wanted to put this video together within 24 hours.
Of course he did.
And, you know, he asked me to step in and be part of the project, and he goes, wow, you were able to step in and just start doing this. I said, yeah, because I've been through these types of challenges before where you don't have any time to think about it. You just have to work for the next 16 hours and get it done. There are no other options.
Yeah.
And when you feel the power that you can achieve that, you go, wow, if I can pull that off, what else could I pull off?
What else can I do in 16 hours and change the world?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Great quote.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
So our good news story to start with is a young girl that is living in London. She was adopted, and her parents are blonde-haired and blue-eyed, and she is of Korean descent. Well, she was surfing on Facebook, and she saw an interesting video, and she started watching it, and it turned out that the person that was on that video looked just like her. So she kept looking at the video and looking at it, and she'd go back to it every couple of days, like, man, this girl really looks a lot like me. About a month later, a friend of hers says, there's a video on TV of some girl in a movie. You should see it because the girl looks just like you. So this chick checks it out and turns out that it is a twin sister that was separated at birth. And one sister is living in Korea, acting in movies, and the other sister is in London in a fashion career.
Wow, how crazy is that?
So they posted it on Facebook that, wow, don't you guys all think we look alike? And they started to be friendly in that nature. And a doctor out of Southern California said, hey, why don't we do a DNA test and see if you guys are actually related, because you do resemble each other quite a bit. So they Skyped together while they did a DNA test, and then they Skyped the doctor doing the results, and it turns out that they are twins.
Wow. So now, does it say how old they are? Or
well, one's in college in her senior year, so I would imagine she's probably in her mid-20s.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so now they've just been reunited with both families because the other young girl was adopted as well. So somebody gave up twins for adoption, and one ended up here and one ended up there on two continents, and they found each other.
What a great story.
Very cool.
The fact that she found her on Facebook in a video. I mean, what are the chances?
Video.
Yeah.
Obviously she was destined to find her sister.
Yes.
How does that just happen?
Right.
Yeah. So now one of them actually lives in LA now, and the other one lives in France. So pretty cool little story. So our next good news story comes from Baltimore, Maryland. Apparently for 1 week in Baltimore, Maryland, every year they do something fancy with all the restaurants in town that open and offer a special sale on food, and they try to increase their wages in that 1 week, and it's a 1 week of the year that there's not a lot of tourists in town. So this is something that all the restaurants do in order to boost their business.
Sure.
Well, this one guy says hogwash on that idea. He is inviting his business is only going to serve homeless people for 5 days for free. He's closing his restaurant to the public for those 5 days. His entire staff is going to be on, and they are going to only serve people who are homeless and help the homeless community. So the owner of the restaurant has actually been taking a lot of heat, which is just crazy to me, taking a lot of heat because he's not doing the traditional what they always do in Baltimore in this week. And he's saying, you know, these people don't only suffer from hunger, but they also suffer from hopelessness.
And social skills, I'm sure, because they haven't been around a restaurant. I'm sure they haven't sat down at a restaurant in a while.
He's saying they feel they don't have any dignity anymore, and we want them to come in and feel like they're cared for, that somebody cares about them, and that they deserve a full 5-course meal. He says his main goal is just to show people that actions do matter. Baltimore has a long way to recover, and we can't just rely on other people to take the lead. After all, it's our city. He says, my dad used to always say, you can't control what other people do, but you can certainly take control of how you act. My reaction is bringing people together and showing them that I care.
Yeah, I say...
Bravo.
Bravo for him, because he's not taking away business from anyone else.
No. And they're afraid that, then they're going to get the heat to maybe you guys should think more along these lines instead of being selfish and looking for cash.
Right. It's like they're trying to do the good thing. The guy's trying to do a really good deed, and he is doing a great deed. And yet other people are going, well, you can't do that because then we're going to feel like it's the guilt.
Exactly.
They feel guilty, like they're not doing it. And he's like, look, I'm doing what I do. You guys keep your restaurants open and do what you're going to do.
Do what you do. Be greedy if you want to. I don't care. My choice is to serve the people.
I think
it's great.
Awesome.
Well done, sir. We're happy for you.
Yeah. And you know, what I want to add to this is that there is some really good news out there in the world, as long as you go and look for it. If you're waiting for your regular media to show you, chances are it's not going to happen anytime soon. But if you actually seek out some good news, like our show right here, you'll find it. There's a lot of great stories happening out there.
And if you know of a great story, reach out and let us know, or have whoever it is contact us, because we are all about showcasing what's going on that can give everybody a boost.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
We can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out Events Calendar on humanitarianradio.com. July 22nd to the 29th, Insight Meditation Retreat, Barre, Massachusetts. July 22nd to August 30th, it's a full month, and this trip you don't want to miss. It's the Hortus Festival in Amsterdam, Holland. Love to go there. That would be a phenomenal trip. 7/24 to 26, Pure Living Expo, Sedona, Arizona. 7/30 to 8/2, Fruit and Health, Slovenia, Europe. Another great trip. August 1st, Bridging the Spiritual Gap Festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico. August 1st to August 8th, Energy 2015 Conference in Dallas, Texas. August 8th, Energy Clearing Workshop, Portland, Oregon. August 13th to the 15th, another Imagination IQ, Anaheim, California. August 15th to the 16th, Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo, Chicago, Illinois.
And if you want more details on what's going on, just go to humanitarianradio.com and click on our events tab. And if you have an event that you want us to post, just reach out to us either on humanitarianradio.com or on our Facebook. And we're back with Nancy Nunke from Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue. How are you, Nancy?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Tony.
You know, I was reading your bio, and you're known as the Zebra Whisperer, but yet you have handled so many different animals throughout your lifetime. I was blown away by all the different animals that you have helped. But let's start from the very beginning. From what I understand from reading some of your bio, that you started as a child almost having this intuitive instinct to work with animals.
Yes, that's correct. I can't even remember as far back as my mother tells me that I was amazing with animals.
So this was something that you were born with.
I always felt a very close connection with animals because I was accelerated through school, so I was always much younger as the years wore on, much, much younger than my peers in school. And so I turned to my pets and to neighbors' animals and kind of expanded my horizons with the native wildlife. And those were my friends, were the animals.
Now, did you feel like you had an ability that you could understand these animals, like an intuitive reading, or is it more that they were there for comfort?
Well, it wasn't always so intuitive. With many species, it was, because they tell you what's wrong. They tell you how they're feeling. They tell you about their emotions by their behaviors. And I learned animal behavior very early on, especially the subtleties of it. And that's what drew me to the animals was I always wondered what they were thinking. And I can remember at one point holding my horse's head in my hand when I was, I think, 15 years old when I got my first horse. And I said, please tell me what you're thinking. And I was so intent on knowing what was in that horse's brain that I think that's what opened me up to realizing I had to learn what that horse was thinking. And since it couldn't tell me in words, I needed to pay a lot more attention to everything about that animal in every way. Its vocalizations, its behaviors, and the social protocols. So I started watching animals with their own kind and realized that just because they don't have language, vocabulary like we do, doesn't mean they're not conversing constantly with their group, with their herd, with their flock, with their kinship groups, and listening to one another. So at that point, it struck me that I needed to be able to get into that kind of conversation and communication with them and learn each of their languages based on those factors rather than just trying to wonder what does a horse do, what is a horse saying when it's neighing, you know, or when it's whinnying. I needed to dig so much further than that, and that's what I started to do. And I did that with dogs very early on. I did it with cats very early on because those were the animals that were surrounding me. And then when I was 15, I started doing it with horses. So that's how it all started. And then just a few years later, I had my first zebra opportunity to communicate with zebras.
So let's go back for a quick second because that's fascinating. So were you testing these different theories or just saying, okay, let me watch, for example, a cat, since I can relate to a cat. I've had cats for quite a long time, and I'm actually staring at my cat right now as she sleeps under my desk. But there are things that I pick up on from my cat, just like she's become very vocal lately, and she'll let out different meows, and it's really interesting from what I've read that cats don't usually meow that much to each other, but they've almost, it's a learned habit for humans to almost communicate. And I've always tried to pay attention to her body language. Like if she's sitting still, but if her tail's wagging, that means that she's pretty active still. It's like, oh yeah, you can pet me, but my tail's going. So I might turn on you in a second and want to play. Is that the type of things that you started picking up on going, okay, well, she seems calm, but one part of her body seems to be moving and that gives you a different signal.
Yes. Okay. And then you can even look at even more subtle, behaviors when, and you'll pick up on this immediately when her face changes, the values in her face will change, in her eyes, her eyes may get a little brighter. They, may seem to slant a little more. You might see her cheeks get a little bit puffy because their cheeks swell up when they're excited, and their whiskers stand out more. So when you start just staring at them and watching those things and then watching the behavior that happens right after, and once that becomes a constant, a consistent, then you go, all right, I know what that means now. And so you just build and build and build on your vocabulary with the animal in their behavioral vocabulary until you basically can read that animal's mind and you know exactly what's going to happen and when it's going to happen.
Now, would you say that a lot of these, because I mean, obviously these are very subtle of movements, have you been able to find that they're similar in cats? Let's say, for example, like I seem to have learned that if I'm petting a cat and, like I said, her tail or his tail is slightly moving, it means that they're still a little playful and they might want to play with you quite quickly as opposed to being very relaxed and sleepy. Would you say that a lot of the things that you have found are similar in all the cats? So that way you can say, hey, this seems to be consistent across the board with cats.
Exactly. So you want to always check out your different breeds of cats. Even with the large cats, I've trained a Bengal tiger and three mountain lions. Their behavior is no different than your common house cat. The only thing that makes them dangerous is their size, the weight and the size of their teeth and the length of their claws and how powerful they are. Other than that, they're just a house cat.
Really? See, now I would have never thought that. I mean, I've always thought there were similarities, but I thought since they are wild, they might have some different characteristics, but you found that it's very similar. If the cat's tail's wagging, for example, because we keep using that as a reference, then it might be in a more playful mood than, and you have to, obviously with a Bengal tiger or something, you're gonna have to be careful because if it wants to play, it could be a little dangerous.
Right. The only ones you want to watch out for are the ones that don't have tails, like the Manx cats and the other bobtail cats. So then you want to look at the face, because you're going to see those changes in the face. And again, the face changes are so much more subtle than a wagging tail. So you just have to really get involved and pay attention to what's happening. But the best way is to watch the animals interact with each other, because then instead of you in the beginning guessing what's going to happen, you'll actually be able to, as an observer, watch the behaviors between them, and you'll see the response from the other animal. And based on that response, you'll know for sure what the first animal meant.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. So here you are, you have been helping animals out, and then somewhere along the line you decided that you were going to start taking these animals in and almost like help them out along the way. So how did that all come about? Was it just something, a natural progression of you constantly caring for animals and just helping them out if they've gotten hit? Because I read that you would help animals if they got hit by a car. And I noticed that it was not just mammals, it was reptiles also. I read a little something where you helped a snake out, a mother snake who had gotten hit by a car and sewed her up, which I thought was amazing, where most little girls would not even come close to a snake. So,
yes, and I to this day, I remember that beautiful big garter snake and all those babies that I put in the box. My mother wouldn't let me put them in the house because she was actually afraid of snakes, and what she called deathly afraid of snakes. So I put them in a box out in the field beside our house, and I had all the babies in there with the mother, and then the next morning I was going to go check everything out, and I had sewed the mother up. So the next morning I went out, and the mother was still in the box, but the babies were all gone. So I desperately searched everywhere for the babies, thinking that at the time I was so young that they needed to be with the mother, and you know, much later found out that, snakes are on their own as soon as they're hatched, so or born. So so they were done, but I was able to care for her and take her sutures out and finally let her go.
Wow, really? So I mean, and you had zero fear. I mean, again, I'm just curious because again, as a little girl playing with a snake, and you know, thankfully your mom was trusting enough to allow you to do that, because not a lot of moms would allow that. A lot of moms would be like, are you kidding me? You don't even go near that snake.
Mom didn't know why I needed a needle and thread. She taught me to sew, so she thought I was sewing on a button.
if she knew, she's like, oh, I got to go sew up a snake, Ma. It got hit by a car. Don't worry about it. I'll be right back. I'll clean it before I, you know. That's an amazing story. So obviously you were drawn to help animals out. There was something inside of you saying that there's a need here, that you need to help these animals.
Correct. And you know, I think something like that, when you start so young, it's just something you're born with. It's a difficult thing to say you develop over the years, because it was just there with me right from the time I was so young that I couldn't even speak, my mother said.
Right. So here you are, you're helping out these animals, and now you're living in a farm, and you're bringing in more animals. So did people just start to know you as the person that could, like a Dr. Doodle, that could help animals, or like an animal doctor? I mean, were you a veterinarian at all, or were you just doing this?
No, I wanted to become a veterinarian, but in the family that I grew up in, my father said that girls didn't go to college. As a matter of fact, boys didn't go to college either. They just get out and get a job like dad did, and start working and supporting yourself. So it really wasn't in the cards for me to go to veterinary college. However, I look back on that now, and you know how you can say everything happens for a reason, or everything develops from something else. If I were a veterinarian now, I probably wouldn't be, in fact, I know I wouldn't be able to do everything that I've done for all the animals and all the different species of animals, and for the zebra conservation, because, and for the behavioral things that I've gotten into. Because when you're a veterinarian, you hardly have time to breathe. You're on call basically 24 hours a day, and most veterinarians don't have time for their own animals, except maybe a dog or a cat or one horse. So the choice was made for me, but I'm grateful now for that I am now able to do what I do. And I have great veterinarians around me. Dr. John Matthews is amazing, and he has become my go-to veterinarian for my zebras. He's unafraid of the zebras and comes right in and does what needs to be done. And we work together so efficiently and work well together, and we have the same philosophies about things. So we're very happy in that setting now, and I'm able to do what I do.
That is awesome. So tell me a little bit about your organization, because right now what you've done is you have started a nonprofit organization called Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue. Give me a little information about that.
All right. Well, before 2010, I should say before 2007, let me go back that far. I was able to do all my rescuing on my own, and I financed it on my own, and life was rolling along quite beautifully. But in 2007, in October, the California wildfires got the better of our ranch, along with 17 other homes. And so we had much difficulty recovering from that fire due to intentional under insurance by the insurance companies, which is well known. And so we're still recovering from those fires. But at that time, I realized that I had to do something what I called drastic in order to continue to maintain and being the largest rescue in Southern California. And that was to become a nonprofit organization so that I can invite the community and our world community with the conservation effort to come on board with us and help out financially and with volunteering. And I should have done it many, many years before, because it enabled so many people who didn't really know we were here because we were a private organization to just envelop us with their arms, and for us to envelop them. And then it grew into the education and wellness facility from that point. And so it's just been a great progression as far as involving our communities with our wellness, with our education, and with the zebra conservation, and also with the rescue animals.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about how the wellness program and the education programs work. I think it's great of what you're doing, because animals have such a healing power, more so sometimes than humans, because they're just there. They're there, and they're almost like an exact reflection of what you're feeling. And they, like a dog is unconditional love. A dog will love you no matter what, you know. So tell us a little bit more about how these animals have interacted with either the foster kids or people that are grieving, the different programs that you do offer.
Well, let me think about some of the best ones we could talk about. There's so many. But there's some that stand out in your mind because you get emotionally involved with the people and with their circumstances, and it could be very unusual. Now, what we do when people come in is we take their history, especially if we're talking about children, we take their history from their parents or their caregivers, their guardians, and we find out just what's going on with them. But when the child actually comes in, we don't talk about therapy. Therapy is not a word that's ever mentioned here. As a matter of fact, what they do is we talk about their educational program that has been provided to them in a first series of sessions where they're going to learn about animals. So it gets them really excited, takes away any fear that they might have.
Mm-hmm.
We had one girl, that young lady that came in here, that she was so... she was such a role model for her schoolmates, and she was a cheerleader. She was a honor student. She was involved in all of the school special projects, and it got so much for her, realizing that that all the school was looking up to her as a senior, that she just kind of fell apart. And when that happened, the school counselors recommended therapy for her. She actually had to stop going to school, and she couldn't even do homeschooling at the time because her situation was that dire. But someone told her about us, told her parents about us. We set it up. She came here, and here was the worst thing that was happening with this young lady. She was cutting herself for 2.5 years. And no one knew up until about 6 months prior to her coming here.
Wow.
So she went to many different therapists. There were 3 different therapists she went to, plus she went to a group therapy program for young people who cut. And I'm not a therapist, but personally, I think that's more of a support group for cutters, you know, after talking to several people about it. So what we did was we said, let's just stop all of that for just now. And we had that on our therapist recommendations, because we're not doctors here. We're not therapists. We always want to make that clear. We just facilitate the stories of certain animals that have the same backgrounds or similar backgrounds as the people who come here. So what we did with this young lady in that first session was just share with her 2 or 3 stories of some animals, individual animals, and then we see which ones the young people relate to. And this young lady related to this very young miniature horse who was untrained and wild, and we put her with him, and then we put her into the friendship training program with this young horse. Well, months and actually 2.5 years later, that young lady stopped cutting the very day, the first day she came in here to our program, and she never has done it again. And she worked through the friendship program. In that friendship program, it's not just about animals. Everything that we do in the friendship program with animals relates to people and people. And so she learned to work with her family and her schoolmates and all her friends And today he's just doing fabulously and doesn't need us anymore, which is always very sad for us. But we're all still in contact and we see each other once in a while at social events, which is awesome. We get invited there for dinner. But just situations like that where the animal stories just get inside that person, and that person says, and even a five-year-old child can relate to this. They say, you know, that's me. We don't have to say, that's you, and this is the same as your situation. We never say that. We just tell the animal story and how the animal has recovered here at Hearts and Hands, and how its determination and its desire to be healthy and to be happy has gotten it through. And then the same thing happens with the person who relates personally with that animal. And so, yes, it's the animals that do it, and it's their stories that do it. And it's just the most amazing thing to watch and to be a part of.
I can imagine that, and especially because the animal is just there, like I said, almost being a reflection of the person, and they're seeing the strength of the animal continuing to go forward. And sometimes, you know, less words is best. Sometimes it's just holding the space for the person to discover what is going on with themselves, and the animals, I assume, just that they create that space. They allow that space to happen for the person to look deep inside to go, okay, what is it that I'm dealing with? Why am I feeling this way? And they eventually come to the answer, it sounds like. And what a beautiful thing.
It is just so wonderful. Let me just tell you one more little story about Chansey. Chansey is a miniature horse that came in here about 4 years ago. He came in the day he was going to be euthanized, and someone had, you know, as things work, someone just had known that he was going to be euthanized, had heard about it, and they called the owner and said, hey, please call Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue. I think they can do something. Now, this little horse was attacked by a pack of dogs. Pack of powerful dogs, and his neck was broken, his shoulders were dislocated by 6 inches, and his muzzle, his upper lip and lower muzzle were torn completely off. And so this little guy was in dire straits. His head, he couldn't lift his head off the ground. It was all in a twist, his front end, because of his shoulders. And so after about a month of trying to keep him going, it was decided between the veterinarian and the owner that they just couldn't do it anymore. So I invited them to bring him down the following morning after we got the call. And I had called one of our human top burn surgeons, because I thought without anything over his muzzle, he doesn't have any way to scab over and regrowth, have any granulation in there. So the doctor came and he actually confirmed that. He said, there's any way you can ever, you know, do anything with that? He said, I could put a balloon inside his upper face, and then we could turn it over and get some haired skin on his face. So he was probably one of our biggest challenges so far. It took a year and 3 months, and we actually grew gum tissue over his entire muzzle by spotting a little tiny bit between his teeth. We opened it up, and then we just continued to rub it every hour and a half for about a year and 3 months. And so he was absolutely a labor of love. And during that time, his neck actually healed. We had all kinds of energy workers coming in from, in fact, around the world that came to help this little horse. And his neck healed. We got his shoulders all straightened out, and without any surgeries of any kind, just time, energy, massage, and his will to live. And so now what his give back is to burn survivors and to people who have been in accidents where they may have something on the outside that isn't right anymore, or even on the inside. And so we've watched this little boy, he's now 17, 18 years old, we've watched him save lives in front of our eyes. And I can think of one story of a young burn survivor. He was 18 years old, and his mother brought him to an event we were at with little Chansey. And she actually went home and got him after she came to the event and saw him and talked with me. And this young man every day begged her to please let him take more pills so that he wouldn't have to be here and wouldn't have to suffer and be like he was. And he had a clear plastic face on top of his face so that he could teach his skin where to grow to build his face again. Very, very sad and challenging situation for that, for his family, and for certainly for himself. So we spent an hour and a half with him in the photo booth, and I emptied out the photo booth of the other little horse that was in there, and Chansey and I and this young man in his wheelchair went in there. And after the hour and a half was complete with Chansey, he said, "As soon as I'm feeling better, and can I come to the ranch and volunteer?" And it was just a crying moment. And that young man is doing fabulously today. He's just such a spokesperson for animal therapy, and in the burn survivors, he's just such a leader in the group sessions for their survival and for their continued determination to be happy and to make the most of their lives and then to give back. And that's the big thing, I think, is like these animals, when they are injured and they're recovering, people say, "Well, what's an animal like that worth? Like, what's Chansey worth?" And someone said, "What, $50? You know, will you give me $50 to take him?" Was someone said once, you know, that just walked by at an event we were there. And an animal like this that saves lives every day, priceless. You couldn't put millions of dollars of value on him.
Exactly,
that's what he's worth.
Yeah. Well, especially you have testimonials here showing that. Here's an animal who has gone through some really tragic things, and yet through its own will to survive has pulled through. And I think when others can see that as an example, and especially being an animal showing that example, it's that much easier to relate to, because they can easily say, "Wow, if this little horse who was attacked by dogs was able to heal itself and have that will to go forward, then why shouldn't I?" And I think that's a beautiful story. I thank you for sharing that with us.
You're most welcome.
Let me ask you real quick about the Zebra Whisper, because you had mentioned earlier that you have started working with zebras, and now you're also known as the Zebra Whisper. So zebras are not like horses, and they are not like any mule or donkey. They're their own type of breed, aren't they?
Zebras are the ultimate equine. They are very extreme in their aggression. They're very extreme in their affection. So much more than horses are at both ends. They're also, when their adrenaline kicks in, they're about 5 times stronger than a horse.
Wow.
So when we're working with zebras, we have to be fully aware that it's not just a matter of putting a halter and lead line on and pulling that animal over to where we want to go. They're not pliable and tractable like horses are, because they've got a big job to do in Africa. When a 600-pound lion decides it's going to ride a zebra, it's riding it for a purpose. And that purpose is to kill it and eat it. So it's only natural that a zebra has that kind of power, the kind of stamina that it takes, the kind of immediate reaction, the kind of thinking power, reasoning power, kind of logic. Now, people—that's terms that most people won't put on animals—is powers of reasoning and logic. And in fact, before I knew my first zebra, I learned from some animal people who said, "No, animals don't have emotions, and they'll reflect your emotions. If you're happy, your dog's happy. If you're sad, your dog's sad. But they don't have their own emotions, and they don't." Have any powers of reasoning. They only have instinct. And over the last 4 decades, I have learned so much about animals, and I have learned that they do have their own emotions created by their own circumstances, their own events happening at that moment. They have powers of reasoning that we can't even imagine when we see events that they're doing. There's no way that was instinct. That animal deduced that. It thought about it, and it figured it out in its head, not just physically by, running back and forth and finding an opening, but it figured it out in its head first. So what I learned from the zebras was the way they communicate with one another in their social protocols, in their vocalizations, and in their in their physical behaviors, and you put all that together and you have this incredibly amazing animal that the world needs to meet and see in a way that's not just as a prey animal with a couple hundred or a couple thousand of them in the wild being chased by lions. That's what we see in all the video, in all the documentaries.
Right.
And it
right.
just puts them in a place that takes them away from the human, because, they're just a prey animal. And yet everyone knows how beautiful they are. But humans prey on them so much as well. Anybody who hunts probably has a zebra skin in their home, on their wall, on their floor, overlaying over their sofa, because that's one of the ultimate animals that the safari hunters want to kill so they can take that trophy home with them, without even thinking about what those animals are individually, because they see them just as the big group, and, well, if I kill one of them, it doesn't matter.
Right.
When you take that all apart and you actually have a kinship group or two in your backyard and you see how those animals are interacting with one another, what their social protocols are, how amazingly two of the females and two more mares become best friends, so that when the lions come through and they disperse all of those zebras, that all that has to happen, and there could be 50 kinship groups, because each stallion has up to 20 animals in his kinship group. He has 6 to 10 mares and then their immediate family. And so how do those animals get back together when all of that commotion is caused, that chaos? Well, the stallions go to the outer edge and they wait, and each mare only has to look for A, her baby, and be her best friend, and they know each other's voices, and they know each other's patterning. So they just look for, it's like when we're scuba diving. You never leave your scuba diving buddy, and that's who you stick with. Well, it's the same thing with the zebras, so they stick with their buddy, and they find each other so quickly amidst all those zebras, and then they listen. They stop and they listen. And they're listening for their stallion's voice, because he's off to the side, as all the stallions are, calling to his girls and his kids, and they hear his voice only, and they go and find them. So within minutes, that entire group of hundreds or thousands of zebras are back in their family groups and all together again.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So you have, let's just figure out, you have... a place. Are you in San Diego? I wasn't sure where you are.
We're just outside of San Diego in a lovely horsey town called Ramona. We're about 20 minutes out of San Diego.
Okay. And do you have, I know you have a website. It's www.hhar.info, and people can find that right here on the link that they're listening to. But you have different events going on, and people can get a hold of you through that, right? There's a contact information, and there's ways of
yes,
reaching to
yes,
you.
absolutely. And we've got our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/hearts, the letter N, .hands.1.
Excellent.
Hearts, the letter N, hands, hearts.n.hands.1.
Okay, and I'll put that down there also, so that way people can see the link. And real quickly, because we're running out of time, but I want people to know that you do have a GoFundMe campaign going. It's gofundme.com/rallyforrescueanimals. That's plural. And again, the link is here. And just let people know, what are you looking for? Because I know that you have so many animals that you're taking care of, and obviously you're doing some incredible work with these different programs. Is there anything that you can let people know that you're looking for? Obviously, I'm sure you can use some funds to help feeding the animals, but is there anything else as far as volunteers or services that people might have that can help you?
Yes, we can always use volunteers. There's about 28 hours of just general work here to do every single day at the rescue. And then we have special events that we need volunteers for as well. And we have a wish list. As a matter of fact, on this GoFundMe.com, I believe we have our wish list on there as well. So people can go there. And it's GoFundMe.com / Rally for Rescue Animals. Rally for Rescue Animals at GoFundMe.com. And what we also need is people who are into the conservation efforts that we're doing here with respect to the zebras. We conserve three of the species here of the endangered zebras and the wild Przewalskie's horses, which are from Mongolia. So we have 1/3 of the western population of the Przewalskie's horses right here at Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue. And we conserve the Hartman's Mountain Zebra and also the Grevy Zebra, which are both endangered. And we just had a month ago, just over a month ago, a new Hartman's Mountain baby born right here.
Wow.
That's been pretty exciting for us.
How many animals would you say you have currently? Do you even know? Or
we don't always know for sure. They're coming in and out. But our we have about 88 large animals right now.
Wow.
And then we have anywhere upwards of about 50 smaller animals and a dog, cat, and bird, rodent, goat, that type of our population. So we are so large that we are in need of, it's over $11,000 a month just on our feed bill. So it's a huge endeavor that we've been doing here for a long time. We want to keep it going. We are in need. Our largest donor and one of our directors, a beloved man, just passed away a couple of months ago. And so that has inspired the GoFundMe, very important campaign that we're doing now, because we do have a large mortgage payment coming up in just 4 weeks that he was going to pay. And now, of course, is unable to do so. And every month he donated the entire fee bill to the rescue. So we now have to open our hearts and hands up to others who can open up their hearts and hands and ask for, please, our entire community in the United States and internationally to please donate to us and help us continue our efforts in all of our three of our missions here to make sure that Hearts and Hands Animal Rescue is here forever.
Yes. You're doing such incredible work helping the animals, but also helping individual humans that are in need. And the only way, or one of the best ways to reach them, is through your animals. So I applaud you for everything that you're doing out there. Thank you for taking the time to let our listeners know about where you are, what you're doing. And if you can hear my voice and you are listening from a computer or a phone, go to GoFundMe.com, Rally for Rescue Animals. The link is right here underneath the player. And give anything that you can, because they can really use your help, and they're helping so many others at the same time. Thank you, Nancy, for being part of our show.
Thank you, Tony. Enjoyed it immensely. And I'd just like to say to your audience, thank you so much for listening, and thank you even more for giving from your hearts and hands.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guest, and this week it's a song that I chose called Faith, because I think that's something that you truly need in a situation like this, where you know what you need and you just have the faith that everyone's going to come through. So we're hoping that you guys come through and keep that faith alive, and let's keep this animal rescue, keep it moving forward. This is Faith by Saint Tone.
Faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. I got nothing left but to close the door. These are desperate times that we have fallen good within our lives. Nothing more, nothing less. Times are tough, times are hard, both seen disappointments gone, but we're still here to tell the tales. When the glass was more than half empty, you got a pessimistic heart. Maybe faith, faith, faith is all I've got, but I need more. Faith, faith, faith.
apples, I need more. I got nothing left for two. Set up like a pentacle, our failures pinned up on the wall for everyone to check out. Maybe you got what I need to make this boy believe again. There's got to be something else in this living hell. When the bank is broke, no one calls, ain't nothing left at all.
Once again, that is Faith by Saint Tone. If you want to check out that song and a lot of other positive songs, go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.